Today, we're all about kids. We're all about bringing our own children to the Lord's table with us today. We're about bringing these boxes, and that's what these boxes are for. So I wanted you to see that video to show what we're going to be a part of again this year, as every one of these boxes goes to a child who will be blessed. And that's what we want to do. Does it solve all the problems of the world? No. But it blesses a child. That's a good thing. I went shopping yesterday for my own box, which is sitting there by my wife, and I filled it with stuff that I would buy for my three-year-old granddaughters. So Hello Kitty is the theme of my box. And we will... It was fun to open it for her when she came by the house yesterday. Peyton, my three-year-old, who I had to drag off the stage if you were here early. But anyway, she was thrilled. And of course, we had to explain, no, it's for another little girl who's like you. It's a good thing. I want to share another story about our family today. Last summer, my wife, Sandy, and I kept three of our grandchildren for a week so that our daughter and son-in-law could go on a Cancun vacation. Karen and Bobby were very excited about their trip to Mexico, but honestly, not nearly as excited as we were to have Boston, who was 11, and Huey, who was 6, and Cammy, who was 3, come and stay at our house for a week. They live in Keller, just north of Fort Worth, so we don't get to spend as much time with them as we would like. And as all grandparents know, grandkids are so much more fun when the parents are not around. The grandkids call Sandy Mimi. So she planned what she called Camp Mimi for the kids. And I took a week's vacation because I did not want to miss out on the fun. And so last July, we had this whole week of all kinds of fun activities. We painted with watercolors. We did craft projects. They did craft projects, I watched. They got to help with the grocery shopping and the cooking. We read stories. We played board games. I took the boys to play golf. Sandy took Cammy to get a pedicure. We visited our neighborhood dragon. Don't ask. It's a mystery to us, too. We went to a different park every morning and then a different local swimming pool every afternoon. And it was a marvelous week. We just had so much fun, except for one major meltdown moment in the week. Our last swimming pool trip was to the Rockin' Inn River Family Aquatic Center in Round Rock, up on 79, right by Dale Diamond. How many have been there? Yeah, it's kind of a cool place. If you got kids, you really got to take them. It's an awesome place. And Boston and Huey, as soon as we got in, they made a beeline for the biggest, baddest, curly Q water slide in the park, with Papa Tag trying to keep up. And it's a beautiful picture of my back. Looking for where they are. And you can see the curlicue slide over in the distance. Well, we were headed that way. Anticipation just was growing like crazy as we waited in line. Then finally it came our turn to climb the three-story set of stairs to get to the top, to climb in one of those tubes for that glorious slide to... fun and excitement. But what I had not anticipated was the lifeguard with the stick at the bottom of the steps. It's one of these kind of things, you know. This isn't the actual one, but you've been to a theme park. You know what this is. You got to be this high to ride. Well, we'd been to other parks already, and little Huey had ridden them all with me. Boston was plenty tall enough. He's 11. He's a tall boy anyway. Houston lacked about an inch and a half or so. We spiked his hair up, said, look again. I said, stand on your tiptoes, tiptoes, tiptoes. And the young lifeguard there just was not going to make an exception. He had been well trained. So Huey was turned away. And the massive meltdown ensued. More passionate tears you have never seen. It took him a half hour or more to just kind of get past that disappointment and be able to enjoy the rest of the afternoon at the water park. Being left out, turned away, excluded, disqualified, barred from participation. Well, that's a bitter pill for anybody to swallow, especially a six-year-old, as he watches his older brother ascend the stairs for the glorious trip down. Today we celebrate the Lord's Supper, ever right here. It's the most sacred and meaningful act of worship that we do together. What about kids? What about little children? Is there a measuring stick that we have to see if they're big enough, tall enough? Do we have an age or knowledge restriction for coming to the Lord's table? Well, honestly, the New Testament doesn't say a word about children coming to the Lord's table. It's just not there. So, churches over the centuries have established what they think is right and good for children of their church when they should participate. Now, some churches, like the one I grew up in, has had a rule that children were not allowed to partake of the Lord's Supper until after they were baptized. At the church like I grew up in, you didn't get baptized until you were old enough to understand that you were a sinner and to understand kind of the rudiments of the gospel and that Christ died for you. And then when you came to that point and you were baptized, I remember how exciting it was that I got to participate, finally. In other churches, children are required to complete some type of catechism class, teaching them the rudiments of the gospel and what the faith is all about. And then when they complete that, then they're able, and sometimes they have an age restriction as well, that they come. So, here at Pflugerville Community Church, we don't have any of those restrictions. You may think that's great. You may think that's a problem. I want you to know where this comes from. There are two biblical texts that have great influence on me in regard to children coming to the Lord's table. The first is Luke 18, 15 through 17. In the Gospel of Luke, we read, "People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.' Little children are the ones, Jesus says, who most truly show us what it means to accept and enter into the kingdom of God. There is something about their complete trust of those who love and care for them, which demonstrates the kind of humble faith that Jesus asks of all who will follow him. There's only one imperative in that text: do not hinder the children." Now, this really isn't a text about the communion table. It's a text about children coming to Jesus or being brought to Jesus by their mothers. Nevertheless, it seems to me to be a significant statement and gives us some insight into God's perspective of children coming into his presence. And it makes me think that perhaps we should err on the side of grace when it comes to children coming to the table. The second biblical text that informs my thinking about restrictions or lack of restrictions in regard to children coming to the Lord's table is Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. And the context of that is the children of Israel are slaves in Egypt. They've had 9 plagues, God working on Pharaoh to get Pharaoh to release his children so they can go to the promised land. And the last plague is going to be that death angel. And in order for the death angel to pass over your house, you had to follow the instructions that God gave Moses to give to the people. And part of those instructions were, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Our communion has its roots in the Jewish Passover, which celebrated God delivering them from slavery in Egypt. Communion celebrates our deliverance from slavery to sin and death. Jewish families sacrificed a lamb. We have the Lamb of God, who is Christ, our Savior. The entire family ate at the table where the Passover lamb was served. So it seems like the communion table should be about the entire family coming to God. Jewish families took great care to instruct their children in the meaning of the Passover. Down a few verses there in Exodus 12, Moses gives them further instruction from God. And that instruction is, when you're in the promised land down the road, a few generations, you practice this Passover every year. And when your children ask, Mom, Dad, why do we do this? You explain to them what it means. That was the job of the family. As Christian parents, that's your job, to explain the meaning of why we come, why we partake together. So, here at Pflugerville Community Church, we let each family decide when their children are ready to actually partake of the bread and the cup. The only measuring stick is faith in Christ our Lord as the crucified, risen Son of God and our Savior. So, I encourage parents, bring your children to the communion table. Let them partake when you determine that they're ready, whatever that may mean. You may want to wait till after they're baptized. That's fine. I'm not going to judge you for that. Let there be some instruction that goes with it. And you be the one that determines. All children can accompany their parents to the table, whether they actually partake or not. Consider it a great teaching moment so that on the way home, talk about what you did today. Talk about what it means. Why we eat a little piece of bread and what it represents for us and why we take that little cup and we drink it together. What does that mean? It's a teachable moment for you. And today is a special day because we're doing Operation Christmas Child. And all children can come and participate in bringing a box to stack. These are our first service boxes. Operation Christmas Child is about more than coloring books and toys and toothbrushes or Hello Kitty for my box. These gifts enable Samaritan's Purse to partner with other churches in the poorest parts of the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ with children who need to know there is a God and He cares. This past year, 8,646,354 shoeboxes, the most ever, were packed by children and adults. Since 1993, more than 94 million children have experienced God's love through these simple gifts. More important, millions of these children, along with their friends and their families, have come to faith in Christ as local churches and ministry partners distribute the storybook gospel and follow up with discipleship programs. What better way to celebrate God's love freely given to us in Christ than coming to the Lord's table, participating, eating of His body, drinking of His blood shed for us, and bringing a box, bringing gifts for children. So here's the way we're going to celebrate today. All who call upon the name of Christ as Lord and Savior are invited to come and commune with Him. That's the only measuring stick we have here. If you believe in Christ, you're welcome to come. Today, bring your Operation Christmas Child box and with your family. Put it in the stack. And we have three extras. Right? Are those yours? Okay. We have three extras here. So if your family forgot or whatever, it's okay. There's plenty of grace around here. So just pick up one of those and put it down. And if you want to pay for the contents, it's about $20. You can talk to me about that later. Send it. We don't care about that all that much. But have a box to put. Now, we had a whole bunch for first service, but they gobbled them up. So if we run out, here's what I would encourage you to do. Bring your family to the stage, kneel down, and pray for the children anyway. If you brought a box, pray for the child who's going to receive that. If you didn't bring a box, pray for the children who will receive them. You can do the same thing. It'll be good. Lord God Almighty, we thank You for the body of Christ broken for us and the blood of Christ shed for us that we may be freed from the slavery of sin and death. We thank You for the hope that we have in Christ our Lord. And as we come to this table, help us to be mindful, filled with gratitude and joy, and yet humbled at the sacrifice of Christ for us. And Lord, we pray for each child who receives one of these boxes. We pray that it would be the means through which a child would be blessed, would hear the gospel, and would know that there is a God and You love that child. In Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, that's kind of fun, isn't it? It's fun to celebrate the presence of Christ with us. That's a good thing. Here's the blessing today. May your hearts be filled with praise and gratitude and joy for the Christ who welcomes every child into His presence. Amen.